I didn't see any seagulls this year, so I'm kind of disappointed. In the early 1200s, a young Castilian priest was walking across Europe. He was walking with his bishop because they were trying to arrange a marriage between two noble families. And as they were strolling across Europe, they came across some preachers doing what preachers do, preach. So he started to listen. He noticed that the words of these preachers were very powerful because the people listening to them were inspired and were starting to follow these preachers and their way. But St. Dominic also noticed that the words he was listening to were not in keeping with sacred scripture. They were not in keeping with the words of Jesus Christ. And the people, like we heard in today's second reading, were being led astray because they did not know true words from false words. This troubled St. Dominic greatly. So when he went back home, he started to think. And then he moved upon his thoughts. And he founded an order of preachers, whose whole life would be dedicated to the Word. Today, 800 years later, this movement is still going, thriving around the world. So I thought today we'd look at the concept of Word and to see just the power that words have. So we start by thinking about words themselves. They're sort of intellectual, abstract concepts. They allow us to look at our world and to label things, to categorize things. But then eventually, it has to come out. We have to share those words with others. Over the years, certain sounds and letter combinations have come to take on different meanings. And when they do, when we share them with other people, there can be a powerful exchange there, as we'll see in a little minute as we unpack this power. So the thought, the abstract, incarnates, if you will, and is then becomes tangible and concrete. Now we see this reality at the very beginning of creation, Genesis chapter 1. When we go there, we hear that God speaks 9 times. We hear, "Then God said." And when he spoke, we get the sun, the moon, the stars. We get the sea, the land, the sky. We get the creepy crawly things, the swimming things, the flying things. And then finally, we get us, the human things. Now, God speaking is sort of metaphorical because God is other outside of creation. But from the very beginning, sacred scripture is revealing to us the power that words have. The power of God's word has the ability to create what we say ex nihilo, from nothing. God can bring something from nothing just by speaking. Then once God had accomplished creating creation, in chapter 2, God blesses Adam and Eve and says that you have a special place among all of creation. In chapter 8, we see God will enter into a covenant with us through Noah. God speaks to Noah and he says, "Never again will I curse the ground because of human beings, since the desires of the human heart are evil from youth, nor will I ever strike down every living being as I have done." So through his words, God blesses us. God tells us we have a unique relationship with him and the rest of creation, and gives us that promise that he will always be with us. But we also know while words can do those positive things, words can also do negative things. They can be destructive. If we go back and listen to what God said to Noah in that covenant, he says, "The desires of the human heart are evil from youth." So that brings us back to Genesis 3. Because there's somebody else who knows the power of words. In Genesis 3, we're told Satan appears on the scene. And he uses his words. Now, Satan cannot create. No created being can do that. But what he can do is distort. He can use his words to distort God's words. And that's what he does. Tells Adam and Eve, you can be like gods. You can disobey God. It doesn't matter. You're not going to die. Don't worry about it. But we know that both of those statements were false. And we saw that as a result, Adam and Eve wanted those words to be real. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to say, no thanks, God, we will go our own way. But again, Satan's words were false. They led to the fall. They led to sin. And eventually they would lead to death. Now, this reality of words we see every day in our lives. We live in a media culture where 24/7 there are words available to us. Priests, politicians, pundits, spin doctors, and even Facebook philosophers. Thank you. They didn't laugh this morning. I laughed when I wrote it. I like that. It's kind of funny. Anyway, all of them, 24/7, especially your priests, are preaching, trying to get you to follow their way. Now, some of these preachers, even the Facebook philosophers, are rooted in God and trying to use these new media to further the kingdom of God. But others are not. Others are using their words, like St. Dominic experienced in the 1200s, to lead people astray. On a personal level, we can see how words can build up or tear down. As most of you know, recently I was back with my family, and I have 8 nieces and nephews. 6 of them are between like 2 and 7, the cute age. Once you turn 8, you should be shipped to a foreign island and come back when you're 28. You guys like that one, right? Yeah, there you go. Tell me about it. All right. But it was so wonderful to see the little ones light up. When you first see them, you got so big. And what do? They're so happy. Yes, I'm 5. You know? They're so excited. I'm 3 feet tall. Or how about when you tell them you love them? You see them light up. They're so excited to see that. But they light up even more when you say, yes, you may have that 17th cookie that you were looking for. Cookies. Cookie over here, please. Row 1. Cookies. All right, good. Thanks. She's not a plant, by the way. Very good. So we can see where our words build each other up. But unfortunately, we also know that our words can tear each other down. There are people who grew up in families where their parents told them, you're stupid, you're nothing. And they grew up hearing this. And like Satan's words, those words are not true. We are all children of God. But we all know, maybe firsthand or secondhand, just the harmful effects those words can have on people. I've dealt with people, ministered to people who years and years later, still trying to get those words out of their mind. It's very difficult. If that's your life you have, we pray for you. We want to journey with you and know that those words are not true. We also know, unfortunately, that words in the playground or words in cyberspace have led a number of our young ones to take their own lives because those words were so devastating, so hateful, so harmful that they mistakenly thought this is the only solution. Those are the words of evil. Those are the words of the devil. Those words are not true. So we can see the power to build up and the power to destroy. To combat this reality, St. John's Gospel reveals to us, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In the fullness of time, this sort of abstract, transcendent God all of a sudden incarnated and stood right in front of us, face to face. He spoke to us. We have his words in the Holy Scriptures. The truth that Christ gave to us radically transformed our understanding of God and neighbor. He said to call God our Father. So we have this intimate relationship with God. And if we all have the same Father, then we're all sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also said, you are no longer slaves, but friends. Again, that intimate relationship that we can have with our God. Then Jesus challenged us. He said, love your enemies. He said to offer forgiveness, to turn the other cheek. He said that if something happens in the heart, it is similar as if we did it out in the flesh. We have to strive for this purity. These words of Christ have power to transform us because they give us God's grace and God's truth. God's grace and truth radically changed me when I was reconverting back to the Catholic faith. The more my knowledge of Christ, the Word incarnate, and the more my knowledge of the Scriptures increased, the less I started to care about the words of man. Now, don't get me wrong. I like people, and you all know I like talking, probably too much. But today, when I hear words, I think to myself, are they in keeping with God's words? If they are, then I'm edified by them. If they are not in keeping with God's words, then I try to correct them or pray that this person will come to know them. On a personal level, if somebody comes up to me and says something about me personally, if it's true, whether it's something positive or negative, then I have to own that. If it's positive, thank God. If it's negative, I have to change my ways. But more importantly, if someone comes up to me and says something about me personally that's not true, I now know that sticks and stones will break my bones, but false words will never hurt me. There was a time in my life when I was a real people pleaser, and I tried as much as I could to get everyone to like me. I got a funny story. You all know Father Michael, right? All right, good. Most of you. Father Michael's a classmate of mine and a predecessor. Great to start. I love the story. Anyway, so we were talking when we were going through formation about how some priests, you know, back away from preaching the hard word of Christ because, you know, it's tough when people get mad at you. And I said, you know what? I didn't join religious life to make friends. Father Michael instantaneously said, you're doing a great job. Can you believe he said that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, but I learned that no, if I try to live my life trying to please the, what, 1,000 people I see here today, then I'm nothing. But I have to, a million? We have a million people here today? All right, good. But there were growing pains when this happened. Some people I thought were family, some people I thought were friends, didn't really like the new Father Jerome. Some even used their words to mock the new world that I have embraced. But I can tell you that there's a peace and there's a happiness that is available to all of us when we allow the word Jesus Christ into our lives, when we allow the Scriptures to transform us. Will it make our lives perfect? No. Will it make us perfect? No. But at least it allows us to know, ah, I am a child of God. I know where I'm going. And nothing that comes down the pike, whether that be sickness or somebody else's words, nothing is going to take us away from the love of Christ. So St. Dominic saw the power of words when he witnessed many being led astray. He understood that. He said, we need to get the word of God out there to combat the false words that are being preached. So St. Dominic empowered people to go out and preach, as our baptism empowers us to go out and preach. When St. Dominic was being canonized, or shortly after his death, those who knew him wrote about him. And one of the things they wrote that really challenges me, and it should challenge all of us about St. Dominic, is the following. It's only 6 words, but they are very powerful. They said that St. Dominic spoke, quote, only to God or of God. 6 words, I think they're all but one are one syllable, but they're very powerful. Listen to them again. St. Dominic spoke only to God or of God. Try doing that for one day of your life. I know I would fail. St. Dominic did that his whole life. St. Dominic knew that the Word of God will build up our relationship with God, build up our relationship with each other, and transform the world that we live in. St. Dominic chose his words very, very carefully because of the power that they have. So today our prayer should be to ask God to always allow us to speak the truth of God, to speak always of God or to God.